Mr. Whitaker, a real 11. We were talking about the siege of Tobruk and the sort of routine that was established after the initial fighting. We mentioned the parcels. When you got a parcel, would you share it out with your friends?
Yes. If you didn't, then insist. We were on those terms with them. I can only remember them getting this one parcel.
Would other people get more, perhaps?
Most of them got the odd ones, but they usually share cigarettes or whatever, you know. If they got, as I say, chocolate or whatever.
What about letters from home? Would you get them any more regularly?
At first, I remember there wasn't anything for ages, and then we got a huge batch, some of which had been delayed for ages. But we did get, I can remember the first batch, because it got letters for dating way back.
And who would write to you?
Mother and father.
What sort of things did they write about?
Oh, just that they were all right, that everybody was happy and how well we were doing. Words, you know, expressing concern and telling me, hinting that they knew where I was.
And you'd,
because they weren't allowed to say.
And you'd write to them, presumably.
They wrote back, yes.
Did you use any? I mean, censorship was supposed to be quite strict. Did you think of any ruses to let them know where you were or what was happening?
Occasionally, yes.
What sort of?
I think my interbrook was, reminded me of Nottingham Castle and the Sheriff and Robin Hood, that sort of thing, attacking the, in other words, we were being besieged. And since there was only one place being besieged, saying that there was a lot of sand and humorous things like, don't bring your bucket and spade. That sort of
And were you allowed to write many letters? I mean, would you write often?
I was quite a good letter writer, I think. You did get a sort of airmail thing, which was a one-page thing you were allowed to send. I don't know whether they charge us for stuff. It's what I've forgotten. And I know we had this one green letter per week or month, whatever, where you were not to write anything military. I wrote to a girl I'd known who didn't write back very often. She wrote back in case. She did send me a photo when I asked for it, which I got into book. But it was mostly my parents.
And that sort of contact was important to you?
Oh, yes. Especially my point of view, to let them know I was all right. I'd begun to realise that then, we were doing a job and we were a bunch of nice fellas and good friends, and it was important that while we might think to ourselves we're having the time of our lives as young men all together, but to a folks at home, it was all more desperate than it was for us. We didn't, I must say it, but we never felt in any desperate situation. There was always a tremendous spirit that we were there, we were going to stay there, and nothing had shifted.
Now, what about extra rations? I mean, was there a naffia anywhere where you could get anything extra, like even can of beer or something?
There was a famous occasion which I did draw a cartoon. They announced rather rashly that the ship was bringing, that somebody had paid for a whole consignment of beer. There'd be one bottle of beer per man for the whole garrison. And they told when it was coming. The day it arrived, of course, and the ship, in daylight, and of course the stookers came over, they'd let it come all the way up. They could see it, of course, because they held all the coast. And they came over as it got into the harbour. And all we ever saw was this big plume of smoke. And I was doing this cartoon with two chaps talking, a big column of smoke in the background, just saying, "Well, I said the beer ship's come." Our Padre made a great name for himself. He was the Ace Scrounger, Parry, the Reverend Parry. if there was anything to be got, he'd get it. And they did send other stuff up. Eventually it became, they started to bring a destroyer up, which would arrive at, I know it's saying now, I've forgotten whether it arrived at midnight or left at midnight, but it certainly stayed 1 hour. And if they were throwing a box from the quay when the hour was up, it went. Stuff went into the harbour. He stayed an hour and went because they used to shell it. But they did bring occasionally with the odd. We did get the odd bottle of beer, bar of chocolate. Always remember we were short of razor blades. We used to sharpen razor blades on our leather belts. We used to always be sharpening these leather blades to keep them obviously shorter.
Was there anywhere, how were these things issued? Was it through a NAFI or was it just come round with them?
Come round and say we've got so much, and if there wasn't enough to go round, if there were only a few packets raised, you'd be able to get one.
So there wasn't a matter of buying things?
You bought it, but as far as I can remember, it was very limited. But just as I say, the rumour was that the officers' mess, if there was an odd bottle of Scotch ever came up to book, how far you would get it for our officers. But it was good. If there was anything going for the lads, it was well known as one of the ace scroungers.
Was he popular with the men then?
Yes.
Was that because of the scrounger, or was he popular because of his padre type duties as well?
I think because of the scrounger. I quite like, but the one thing I didn't like was I didn't like him taking church services off the gun positions. It always rankled with me.
Why?
I didn't like, for instance, he came up one day and went to hold a service, says, sort of, right, old lad, kill many Germans today. Well, I thought I could kill them, but he was a pard, I was old fashioned. I thought he should have been. But he was a great fellow. One of the stories he used to tell about him, going with his driver, there was either shelling or they got in a Stuka raid, and the driver died for the split trench. And Reverend Parry said, God will look after you, my boy. And he said, well, he'll look after you a lot better than this bloody war.
Were you very religious at the time?
Not particularly, no.
Were many men?
Not that I can remember.
What about other rations? I mean, cigarette ration. Would you get a cigarette ration?
The cigarette ration. We did get the cigarette ration. I forget whether they were Victory V at that time or RAF, but whatever they were awful. They were the, oh dear.
What was so bad about them?
They tasted horrible. They smelt foul, tasted foul. There was the odd. I was a pipe smoker, and there wasn't. I did get the occasional. There was the occasional ounce of tobacco came up, where since there weren't so many others, we did manage to get hold of the odd pipe.
What about rum? Any rum ration?
The odd ones, but I can't remember it as a regular thing until later on it did become fairly, towards, September, October time, I think that was when they were fattening us up. But they did, there was a rum ration later on. At first there was the odd one now and again.
How was it doled out?
By tots. They had a measure, and they'd give you a measure, and you drank it. You were supposed to drink it there and then.
And did people? Or did people try and save it up for a bender?
Some people did. Some of them got into trouble because they got rather tired, and so they were excluded, these two or three, from the room.
How did they manage to save it?
They haven't a clue. They got a bottle from somewhere, and. Poured it into a bottle.
Your diet you mentioned isn't a very healthy diet. I mean, was there any vegetables at all?
Can't remember vegetables.
What about ascorbic acid tablets or something like that to stop you from getting scurvy?
Lime juice.
And how was that? That was another issue.
Another issue, occasional sort of thing.
And what did you think of that?
Not much, except it was something to drink.
Was there any problem with desert sores and things like that that come from, you know, bad gums, things like that?
Yes, there were. Desert sores were always a problem. I didn't suffer particularly. I did have the odd one or two sores.
What were they like?
Round, you'd get a scratch and it would develop into a round spot which would not heal. Scabbing, muddy, a sore. It just would not heal.
And how long would they last for? I mean,
with some people, they last weeks. It was a real problem.
Was there any method of treatment that people tried?
I can't really remember going to the MO, and I don't think I've ointment and stuff like that. But it always seemed to be a case of wait till it healed up.
What about things like gums and mouth ulcers, other things that related to bad diet? Did you get any of that?
I had toothache again and went down to the Australian dentist, which was in the Tobruk HQ, in some caves, which were very. And I declined the chap's invitation to have all of them out. And later, I knew someone, anyway, I knew someone who had it done, and they made them false teeth, and very good they were too. Years and years after, I always wished I'd gone, but still, that was a. But they were very good. I think they took the tooth out, because with the previous experience with the Australian New Zealand, they were, despite the rather primitive thing, they were excellent. But I did have, that was the,
What about some of the other health problems that have occurred? I mean, what about dysentery? Was there much of that?
Can't remember a lot of it.
What about the reverse, constipation, because it's a terrible diet?
Yes, there we never seem to have much trouble.
What about sandfly fever? Or jaundice, things like
that? Jaundice again. I had my dose of jaundice came during the breakout.
I will come to that then.
That
I think.
Was another.
Well, but there were people going down with things. What was the health?
People did go, and some had to be evacuated. But not a lot of ours, as I can remember.
So, as far as you were concerned, the health wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad, no, especially looking back on it. I can't really remember vegetables, or it was, I said the whole thing seemed to be bully beef and biscuits and the odd fruit drink,
Now what about the latrine provision? Was that pretty well the same as at Mercer?
Yes, dig a big hole and put a thunder box over it.
An actual box structure?
Yeah, only to sit on, no cover. One very thing that did amuse me, we had a Welshman with it this time, who was a member of the Communist Party in a local, he was a local councillor, lonely and young lad, minor of course. And he was sitting on the Thunderbox, which at the time was a good 200 yards away from our, I was in the command post at the time, and this thing was about 200 yards away, and out of the blue came half a dozen or so shells. And two or three of which landed not ever so far from this thunderbox. And I'll swear that Tuffy covered this in two bounds with his trousers, which he'd slipped off, waving. And when he got in, he said, they knew I was anti-fascist.
What was his name?
Forgotten his name. I think it was Williams, I think. But he was a guy, I know he joined us, I don't think he wasn't a militia man, he joined us later on, I think, but in fact I think he joined us they got to. But for all that, he used to chat to us about his local council.
That was local council in Wales,
in
not
Wales.
Not in Nottingham. What about other things? Were you much of a problem with flies?
They were always a problem.
In what way?
Wherever you went, there were flies. They'd settle on your food. If you put jam on your biscuits, the damn thing would settle on you. They'd settle on your face. They were always... The thing that everybody said, if there were no flies, so human beings got there. And as soon as people got there, there were flies. And they really were settling your tea. They were everywhere.
Was there anything you could do?
No. Back them out of the way.
But they didn't bring dysentery, as they often do.
We didn't seem to have a lot of problems.
What about lice? Was there any lice?
Didn't have any lice. Fleas, yes. Again, I was looking, they didn't bite me. They just had one chap. His mate stood there bite him, and he swore that it was because I was rotten. He said, even the flies, even the fleas won't bite you. But that was cured. Only got the odd one, really. Only got bitten the odd time. Well, lots and lots of fleas. The thing was, they said, wherever the Italians had been, there were fleas. Probably untrue, it probably they lived in the desert anyway. It was a quite nuisance.
But not to you particularly.
But they didn't
would you have them, but they didn't bite you? Or would you just not have them?
Probably get them, but they didn't bite me.
Did they irritate you walking around?
At times.
But not to you much of a problem?
I never had a problem.
What about some of the other animal life of the desert? I mean,
scorpions. You'd find the old scorpions under stones.
Were they regarded as a danger?
Yes, they were. We thought they were deadly. We were told afterwards that there were only about one variety that you could get bitten and live, but we always, we didn't, scorpions were regarded as a, you got bitten and you died, and that was the old horned viper. So they were, now they were, if you saw one of those, usually it was if you got a spade, chop his head off.
Would you see many of these things?
Not a lot.
Did you check where you slept? I mean, that's the danger place, I suppose.
Yes, if you've got your boots, you'd always knock your boots out. But the scorpions mainly lived out and under stones and things, you'd find them when you were digging. That's the main thing. You turn a stone over and find the rest.
Did you hear of the people playing with them? I mean,
well,
game stuff.
There were some spiders there. Various sorts, and sometimes to amuse themselves, the lads would get a scorpion and a spider and watch the scorpion. And
what about the actual desert rat, the jiboa?
Oh, yes.
Did you actually see them?
Yes, they were very delightful animals. They became my mascot. My mother always thought I'd got a pet one because I used to draw this little. I pinched it from Mickey Mouse, of course. And put a long tail with a bush on the end. But particularly at night, you'd find them hopping about.
I mean, were they a nuisance like the real rat?
No, they were regarded as worse like pets almost. You know, you like to see them.
So they were more like squirrels and rats, as far as you were concerned?
Yes, they were quite pretty little creatures.
Any other animal life in the desert you noticed?
Owls later on when I was up at the LP. They'd usually go to the harbour, so they didn't. There would be odd shelling, which was usually. They'd fire a few rounds at an OP in various parts.
So what would you actually do during the day if you weren't on duty or weren't mending your lines or checking your lines?
Talk, I drew cartoons.
What, taking the talk, what sort of comments, what would you talk about?
Where you live, what you did, anything, food, although we used to get on to people who talked about food. We tried to be, some of us tried to be very blasé about it, you know, say, now, you know, it's time for it. And the founders found things to do, maintenance.
So, your cartoons, Tell me about them. Did you have a supply of paper you could use?
There was some form which was in use, which they let me have, which the back of it was ideal, a big square. I don't know which one it was, but it was about, a foot or square. And I, at the particular time when I really got into this tribe, I'd gone into the, I was at the command post. What we did, on the command post, as well as the exchanges, we had a wireless. We listened to the wireless at night and passed the news around to the troops. We were allowed to. We'd immediately switch over, I forget whether it was 9 o'clock or whatever, immediately switch over to Lord Haw-Haw and find out where, for instance, the BBC announced one night a Midlands town has been heavily bombed and some casualties have been noted. Switch to Lord Haw-Haw and he said, good evening, South Doctors Ours. As you've heard, nothing has been obliterated tonight. But anyway, we've passed this news on. Well, when I was at my favourite time for drawing was if I was on duty in the night, I'd listen to something on the news or something had happened in the day, I'd draw a little cartoon. Or sometimes if I got into the stride, I was getting a bit more elaborate then. One of my favourites that I can remember, Major Birkin appeared in the morning with his topi on. You know, the 1st of May was when he went into the authorised time for putting it. And who the heck would bring a topi up the desert? But he'd got his on and had what they call the puggery around it, you know, with the South Rocks flash on it. And in an instant, I must say, I drew this picture of this topi in a big moustache thing underneath and simply put on it Prelude to Summer with my little Jabberin caller saying, does he know that one topi doesn't make a summer? They called me out later, called me over to outside Whittaker and I went and he just said, watch it. So I said, yes sir, and watched it.
So that was quite a... Would you show them round to people?
Yes, eventually I got quite a pack and they took them down to show General Moorshead, who wrote a little note saying it was, you know, good for morale. They let me be quite scurrilous, really, you know. My humour, I've never been objectionable. I'm like the subtle digs and things, you know, and almost inscrutable, but... They took a very good part and all sorts of ridiculous, which I've forgotten. I lost a lot, that's one of my great regrets, because they'd have made a marvellous basis for... But they used the lads at the time.
What did you use to... You told me the paper, but...
Pencil. There were plenty of pencils and I've got a rubber. And they weren't ever so...
How long would it take you to do the normal one then? I mean, as opposed to the lightning?
Sometimes I'd not only use, we're on an hour and a half on the ship then, and sometimes I'd stay on an extra bit if I'd got really into the stride and doing something elaborate like my Good Morning Luftwaffe, where I've done a lot of aeroplanes, a lot of people, you know, people running off the trains and all sorts of stupid, you know.
Now you mentioned listening to the radio and thing. What did you think of Lord Haw-Haw's propaganda?
Well, often it was more informative than the BBC because, as I say, he'd give you names and things, and they always made it quite clear he knew exactly who was there. I've heard it myself. I don't know whether I was on the Nottingham thing, but certainly within minutes we knew it was. We'd heard the middle of town was Nottingham, but he would quite often say, the famous one where he said, good morning, South, or good evening, South Doctors Ours. Have you said good morning? I mean, I heard that myself. Often addressed you by.
Have you said good morning, what?
You said good morning to the Luftwaffe. you know, he knew we were there, told, you know, and as I say, you were told to take no notes of the propaganda. As I say, it filled out the BBC news.
And you passed this round the...
I passed it round all the troops.
Now, was this part of... I noticed that you edited a thing called the A-Troop Times,
yes,
with Sammy
later,
Hall.
Later on, when I was sent to A-Troop, Major Birkin suggested that with the cartoon, and Sammy used to write little verses and things, and we got together, and we only made two or three issues, but we wrote, hand-wrote this thing called the A-Troop Times. I used to do the main story, a cartoon with a storyless story on the front page, continued on page for the back page. Sam used to do one with all his nursery rhymes and verses and sometimes menus which he made up and all sorts of ridiculous things. And then we'd do some bits together, about four pages, and then pass it round.
Was it duplicated at all?
No,
or?
No,
so it was just handwritten, there was the one issue?
Just the one issue. We did about half a dozen altogether, I think. But it was, Major Birkin did this, you know, he suggested we did this, and we sort of said, well, what can we do? And he said, well, you know, he said, well, I'm sure you'll know how far to go. I know, for instance, one time they'd told us that one of the other officers, I've forgotten who, told us that in the mess they'd all been arguing as to who should mash the tea. Apparently it was all of a sudden one of the officers had shouted, "Aggie, put the kettle on," Aggie being Angus Carr, who was the B Troop officer. So Sammy, I know he wrote this little line, Aggie put the kettle on, we all have tea. Quite ridiculous, but of course they knew just what had happened, and it was, you know, stupid things like that. And of course, to amuse the lads, to see you using the officers' nicknames without being hauled over the coals. I had an occasional later on I had a concert, gave little concerts in a well. Well, I say a well, it was a cave. Old sister, as they call it, you know, had been a...
And who would give the concert? Was it the battery, the...
Yeah, usually Sammy Hall and Charlie Fisher, our battery.
The ones from Mercer, again?
The ones from Mercer, the usual.
Would you go often?
Yes, you'd go along. It depended whether you're on duty or not.
Would it mostly be the same acts?
The same acts.
I mean, they wouldn't actually write new material very often,
no,
I presume.
Not usually. They might find new. Some would usually find fresh sayings and things to say. I know I had a go at one of our sergeant majors, Jim Hardy. Jim had this unfortunate habit of scratching himself somewhere around the groin, and Sammy christened him Nut Scratchers. He used to do this sketch about Nut Scratchers, which went down a bomb.
Would the officers attend? Or?
Yes, the odd ones would go, just to show, you know, they wanted to show that they were all willing.